At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stone those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. These are some harsh words towards Jerusalem that we get from Jesus this morning. So whenever we arrive to a part of the story where Jesus is seemingly ranting against Jerusalem or the Jewish people or the Pharisees, it's good for us to remember throughout our time today that Jesus is speaking to his own spiritual family, his Jewish siblings, to his own in-group, his peers, his friends of the time. Jesus is not antagonizing from the outside, claiming Judaism is the issue here. He's Jewish, and so that'd be a little conflicting. Jesus lifts up different elements of the history of his people, one element that fell into temptation, a temptation that we still face today, and another element that aligns with Jesus' way and the message of Jesus. And to share this message, Jesus uses some nice familiar farm animals because that's just the kind of thing that Jesus seemingly would do. And so the fox and the mother hen appear, the tempting way of that fox and the gathered way of the mother hen. Jesus' words here sort of set the foundation for that phrase, a fox in the hen house, where a fox among hens inevitably leads to destruction and a massacre familiar to those of us with chicken coops at home. Jesus does not mince words when the death threats from King Herod come to him. King Herod, the ruler placed in the center of Jerusalem by the Roman Empire, Herod who sought out Jesus at his birth to stifle the incarnation of God, Herod who would kill John the Baptizer for his prophetic speeches that would pave the way for Jesus' own ministry of healing and of hope, Herod, that fox. The stories before us today cannot escape the violence of humanity, the destruction then and the harm now. But Jesus won't take it, won't be silenced. Jesus doesn't hold back about how he feels about Herod or about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, who kills their prophets. Jerusalem, who turns away those sent with the divine message of freedom and liberation for all. Jerusalem, Jesus says, you were not willing. They were not willing to what? They were certainly willing to see the fox in the hen house, causing harm, and willing to clear him out and end him, to treat Herod the fox just as he treated John the Baptizer before him, to kill and end it all right then and there. They were willing to kill the fox. So what was it that they were not willing to do? Now, as Trey mentioned before me, if I was going to use a protective maternal metaphor to contrast or interact with fox, it would of course be a mama bear, that protective brute force of a parent who would not tolerate the fox, that protective brute force of a mother who would not tolerate Herod or Jerusalem or any violence for that matter, who would see an end to it all right then and there. And yet, this message that Jesus refuses to be silent about is not inherently a violent one. Jesus' own protectiveness does not see the destruction of the foxes of this world as something to be outconquered, as if Jesus is trying to outfox the fox, to beat violence at its own game. This mama bear image is still the way of the fox, though. It's just a bigger fox. It's still attacking and oppressively, violently opposing. It's somehow still for the sake of peace in some way. The way of that fox is peace through violence and violence against all resistance. Instead, Jesus' protective, maternal force is witnessed in gathering all the children together under her wings. And if we take into account this fox and the hen house metaphor, Jesus, the mother hen, is killed by the fox instead of the gathered, so that they may live on renewed. The way of the mother hen is not destruction, it is gathering so that peace may live on. But Jesus adds to this, though. He doesn't share this mode of how God so loves the world that it might remain a nice pie in the sky kind of idea, left only to theory and thought. No, Jesus is set on action and the material power. Jesus shares this message of gathering in the face of destruction. Jesus turns to Jerusalem directly and as directly as ever and says, "You were not willing. You were not willing to gather. You were not willing to refuse violence, to refuse the empire's way of violence, of peace through conquest." And really, we're still not willing. As a whole, in a way, we're still not willing to accept that way. Not willing to gather as a mother hen would. Not willing to refute violence as the way to peace. Violence as the way to peace was at the core of Pax Romana, Latin for the Peace of Rome. And as some of the history folks, the learned among us, might know, peace was a large selling point of the Roman Empire. The empire brought stability and security, at least for the merchants and the ruling class, as Roman soldiers protected really only their property and their wealth, but it brought safety to some. But there were resistant voices, voices who noted the gaping wealth inequality, voices who wanted freedom from the empire's goal of ethnic and cultural sameness, voices who spoke of a truer, deeper peace, and voices who were subsequently dealt with swiftly and violently because they were disturbing the peace. Because the elites who owned the soldiers didn't like the fierceness of their prophetic words and how they exposed their harm. This peace, a false and a violent one, that won't allow the message of God to enter in. This is the way of that fox. And Jesus calls out this same version of violent peace, of Pax Romana, to his own folks, to his own flock in Jerusalem. Those same voices of resistance, those prophets who spoke against empire, the same prophets that Jesus names aloud as being violently silenced by foxes for the way of peace, a peace that isn't for everybody. And so in contrast to the way of the fox is the way of the mother hen. The peace of Jesus resides in what one author called a fierce, tender mercy. These words from Jesus capture a peace that ultimately feels probably quite unfamiliar to us. How is it peaceful if it has so much yelling? If Jesus is not being nice, and if Jesus is going so as far as to name call, that doesn't sound like peace to me. If the fox still ends up entering the hen house and enacting violence, where is the peace in that? What does peace really look like then? If we stick with Jesus, with our mother hen, and her fierce, tender mercy, peace does begin to emerge. First, in this fierce, tender mercy, there's a fierceness in protesting. This peace of Christ is not a soft nor passive one. The peace of Jesus directly names the harm done to the well-being of those whom society casts away, those in greatest need. God does not overlook them, but looks to them and gathers them first and foremost, while also naming who is it that tossed them aside. And then a tenderness. Tender because the journey to this framework of the mother hen is not an easy one. It's not an easy plight. And again, it's likely pretty unfamiliar. And so, for those of us who are not willing, just as Jesus said about Jerusalem, who are not willing to let go of Pax Romana, not willing to gather, not willing to refuse violence as the way to peace, Jesus' tenderness allow some space and opportunity for reflection and for transformation. Because Jesus also gathers up those of us who aren't willing to accept this reality, despite how they're complicit in longing for the way of that fox, while working within us to long for the same justice that Jesus longs for. And so with this fierceness and this tenderness, there is this mercy. The mercy for all that sets liberation as the direction we're heading. Even though violence still characterizes so much of this world, whether by our fault or larger systems or both or what have you, God takes all of us, no matter what we've done or we've left undone, and gathers us together. Even pieces of Rome, of Jerusalem, even pieces of us. So this fierce, tender mercy of Jesus, the mother hen, leads us to peace by way of a fierceness against the things that harm the supposed least of these, and then a tenderness for those of us complicit in it, and the mercy of God who makes it a real, tangible reality. This peace is not like Rome's or any other empire's. This peace is like what one American prophet known as Martin Luther King once said, that true peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice. And so we have the way of that fox, the way of peace that only some get to enjoy, the way of violence, the way of silencing and killing the prophets, the way of Herod and of the mighty Roman Empire. And then there's the way of the mother hen that contrasts it, because the way of peace in this iteration allows all to enjoy it, having been freed from the foxes of this world. The way of fierce and tender mercy, the way of the prophets then and now, the way of Jesus. And so this conflict that we might feel within us between the way of the fox and the way of the mother hen sets the scene for Lent, the current church season we find ourselves in. Lent is the 40 days that we find ourselves in, the 40 days leading up to Holy Week, where we remember Jesus sharing with his disciples and being betrayed on Thursday, killed and buried on Friday, and then raised from the dead come Sunday. These 40 days echo the 40 days that we heard about last week, the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting and being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And Lent also follows this journey after, geographically and narratively, as Jesus makes his way and travels closer and closer towards his death. And we journey with him. And so when we think of fasting and of Lent, when we think of temptation in the wilderness, it usually involves giving something up. Giving something up for Lent has been long part of the tradition, right? Like, I won't have chocolate, or I'll get off social media for all of Lent. Both are things that I've done. And while I'm sure my doctor would love a little less sugar intake, and being off social media is probably a good thing for me, I don't know. The temptations that meet us in life are also so much bigger. In reality, the temptations we are called to fast from and to turn away from are the ways of that fox, the ways of oppressive violence, the way of empire trampling for the sake of economy or conquest. In Lent, just as we did this morning, we open services with a confession and forgiveness. Not that we might be shamed or told that we're nothing but badness, or that if we don't confess every single sin, God hates us. No. Instead, this confession, this time of Lent, calls us to reflect. Lent is about genuine examination of our lives and ourselves. With fierce honesty in one hand and that tender compassion and mercy in the other, so that when we pray, they fold together and repentance is what follows. And so as we continue through Lent, in what ways do we need to fast from the ways of Herod that fox? Throughout Lent, how are we still not willing to follow Jesus, our mother hen? How do we still look for peace the same way the Roman Empire did? by silencing voices of resistance that call for that true peace, which is the presence of justice for all? In what ways do we hear voices of resistance that raise concern for people that are commonly cast aside and seek to kill that voice? In what ways do we look at the world and see conquest, battle, violence as our only means of peace? Honestly asking ourselves, is the way of the mother hen who sacrifices herself and gathers together really something I want to follow? Or do I hesitate and want to kind of explain this all away? And if so, why is that? And how can I live into this vision of the tender, fierce mercy of Jesus? So let us reflect together. Together, knowing that God still extends a tender mercy towards us, no matter our response to these questions, knowing that God still gathers us as their own, and also knowing the fierceness that Jesus holds for the ways of that fox. And so as we carry out into the rest of our day and into the rest of the Lenten season, may God be with us as we examine our whole selves, reflecting on how we follow that fox and their destructive ways. May God forge a new path within us to follow alongside voices of resistance along pathways of change, not through violence, but through justice and through peace. And may we live into a fierce, tender mercy like our mother hen, set beyond niceness and directed intentionally towards liberation for all. Amen.